Welcome to God's Word for Us.com, Ghana's online Christian station. Be blessed as you listen to messages on the site.
On Christ, the solid rock, I stand. All the ground is sinking sunk. I hear the sound of chariot. I hear the sound of great folds of army coming upon the face of the earth. I hear a sound from heaven. God is about doing something new.
Let me tell you that when God chooses to bless you, he can even use the devil. Are you hearing me? Somebody to bless you, say yes.
It's good to be with you once again this blessed Sunday morning. And I want to thank you for tuning in into Voice That Brings Inspiration and for allowing me to come into your beautiful home. I believe that today's message will bring you hope. It will bring hope to hopeless situations. There are times in man's life when you go through situations and you face challenges in life that gives you a feeling and a sense of hopelessness and powerlessness. But I promise you, this message you are about to hear will recreate and will resurrect every hope that is dead inside of you and will cause you to experience and encounter the mercy of God, who is full of mercy and compassion. The other day, God said to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy. I will show compassion on whom I will show compassion. As it is written, it is not him that willeth nor runneth, but God that showeth mercy. I quoted from Romans the 9th chapter, reading from the 13th to the 16th verse. Stay in tune as you come along with me to a service already in motion. I guarantee you, you will learn something and you will experience fresh mercy and new hope to face the future that is ahead of all of us.
Lift up your hands, please. Everybody, just lift up your hands with your eye closed. I want you to open your mouth and I want you to command that every blessing God has for you in this service today, that you will receive it. That you are not going to be distracted. You are not going to be denied. That there will be no distractions whatsoever to every blessing and miracle God has for you. So as you bow your heads and close your eyes, lift up your hands. Lift up your hands. Pray. You are being distracted. You are being distracted. Instead of you to be praying, you are looking around. That is how the devil snatches your blessings. Close your eyes, lift up your hands, pray, and tell God, I don't want to miss my blessing. I don't want to miss my miracle. Whatever you have for me today, I'm going to receive it. You have to make that determination. If you just come to church for coming to church, then there is no need to come to church. You must come to church with the determination that by the time you leave, you are leaving with something. That you don't come the same and return the same. No. Church is a meeting place with God. By the time you leave, something should have happened. There must be a change of something. Something has to change. It can't be the same. Let there be an impact in the name of Jesus. Let something break. Let there be an infusion, a transformation, a change, a turnaround in the name of Jesus. Do it, Lord, I pray. Do it, Lord, I pray. Somebody, just command. Declare that I shall be healed. I shall be changed. My burden shall be lifted. I'm not going back with the weights and the burdens I came with. I'm going back changed. I can't feel you. I can't hear you. I can't feel you. I can't hear you. I'm going back changed. Lifted up. My moods are changed. I came heavy, oppressed, disturbed, troubled. But I'm going back free. I'm going back loose. I came bound, but I'm returning home loose. I came weak, going back strong. I came sick, going back healed. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Well, get excited. Put your hands together and give God praise in the house. You may be seated in heavenly places. I began a series dealing with exceptions to the rules. And basically, I'm trying to deal with perceptions, concepts, negative perception, concept, mind settings, and attitudes that has kept us bound over the years. Attitudes and mentalities and concepts and belief systems that have kept so many people out of the church, that will not allow unchurch folks to come to church because of our attitudes towards them, the way we treat ourselves, the way we deal with one another, the way we deal with others on the outside and people who are not church people, how we relate to them, how we perceive them, how we see them, and how we relate to each other and even to God. And it has caused lots of frustration, a sense and a mentality of arrogance and pride, where we put down some people, despise folks, and think that we know it all and we have all the answers. And what I'm attempting to do is to dismantle some of these mindset and belief systems and mentality, and begin to cause us to cultivate the attitude of humility and being flexible in God's hands, and to realize that we don't have all the answers. And also that it is not in the power of anybody to condemn or to judge anybody, because God has not given that right to anybody to sit in judgment of anybody. It doesn't matter your righteousness and how long you walk with God and how much you know God. It is not in the power of anybody to judge anybody or to determine the end of anybody. And there's too much pride and arrogance in the church. And my assignments as a father that I've been preaching for 30 years. It took me 30 years. It took me 30 years to come up with this message. Because it took me 30 years to stop, to walk, and to travel from my head to my heart. And it is very, very easy to try to judge situations and to understand the word of God with your head. But faith is not of the head. Faith is of the heart. Believing is of the heart. Love is of the heart. Love is not in the head. Love is not in the bed. Too many people try to find love in the bed. But love is not in the bed. Love is in the heart. So if you're trying to find love in the bed, you never find it. Because the Bible said love is shed abroad in our heart, not in our head, not on the bed. So love is not sex. Sex is celebration of the love in one another's heart towards one another. It is when you have found love in each other's heart towards one another, then sex is the celebration of the love you have in your heart. So you got to understand this, that if you are going to walk with God, the Bible said we walk by faith and not by sight. And the Bible said he that cometh to God must believe that God is, and that God is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So without faith, it's impossible to please God. And the Bible said that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And therefore, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word. And faith is of the heart and not of the head. And as long as we try to understand the scriptures and to comprehend it with our mind, we will always stay confused. But the only way you can understand scripture is revelation in the heart. It's the revelation that the Spirit of God puts inside of you, not in your head. And Jesus said something the other day that really blew my mind. He said, "For the letter killeth, but the Spirit quickeneth." Now, there are two ways to approach the Bible. You can approach the Bible from the law of the letter or from the spirit of the letter. Now, the law of the letter deals with the consequences of what the letter says. The law of the letter says you break the rules, you face the consequences. The spirit of the letter deals with mercy, justice, and love. And when Jesus came, his approach to the scriptures and to the rules of the laws of Moses. He approached the laws of Moses from the perspective of the spirit of the letter. And therefore the Jews, the Sadducees, the Sanhedrin, the elders of his days and the elders of the church of those days had serious problems with Jesus, because they found him as somebody that was breaking the rules and the laws of God. They couldn't deal with it. For instance, the woman caught in adultery. According to the rule and the law of Moses, she had to be stoned to death from the perspective of the law of the letter. But in the light of the spirit of the letter, Jesus could not go that way, because it takes two to commit the act. So why then stone her to death and leave the man? So Jesus said, no, I will rather give exception to the rules by freeing her and rather going for mercy. I would rather have mercy than to observe the rule under the circumstances. Is anybody hearing me? Somebody kills and he goes to court. And according to the rule, you kill, you must be killed. But the judge sits over the case and he hears the evidence and the circumstances leading to the whole situation. And according to the law, the person must go to the electric chair. But then the judge has discretion to decide that based on all the facts presented, instead of going to the electric chair, I give you 20 years imprisonment with hard labor. He has the right to make those kind of choices. And that's why God is the only judge. And it is not in anybody's power to judge anybody, no matter what. We have never been given the right to judge anybody. And that's why David was in a very difficult situation, because the prophet came and told David that something bad has happened in town and related a situation that had happened, which concerned David. But he took it from a different direction and told him how a very wealthy man who had so much flock in town had a neighbor who had only one sheep and had a guest and took his neighbor's sheep and slaughtered it. And told him what happened when the neighbor said to his to the rich man, why have you done this? His attitude and how he went against him and explained the whole thing. And immediately David was angry with the rich man. And David said, this is not right. And therefore he said, that rich man must die and must pay 4 lambs to the poor man. And immediately he said that, the prophet turned to David and said, with all respect, your excellency, you are that rich man. And you just signed your death warrant. And David, through the act of repentance, negated the death sentence. But he didn't do anything about the 4 lambs, and 4 of his children died. And the reason why 4 of his children died was because he was in haste to point finger at someone's sin. And by bringing judgment on somebody for doing something wrong, he ended up killing 4 of his own children by judging somebody. And that's what the Bible says, judge not that you may not be judged. For with the same measure you judge others, you shall also be judged. So we have to be very careful. We have to be very careful. It doesn't matter what. You got to learn to leave judgment into the hands of God. You got to learn to be like a Gamaliel who said, if something is of God, it shall stand. Don't fight it. And if it's not of God, it shall fall. But there are so many people in the church who think they know the Bible so much and know God so much that it is in their power to condemn and to justify. But it is in nobody, including me, it is not in anybody's power to judge or to condemn anybody but God. After preaching for 30 years, I have come to learn that the way you walk with God is humility. And I've also come to realize that just reading the Bible don't put you at a level of knowing God. You know of God through the Bible. But you get to know God through intercourse, divine intercourse. You get to know God when you encounter God by revelation through the inspiration of the Almighty. So you can read the Bible from Genesis to Revelation 2-3 times a year and still not know God. And there are so many people who know God by the letter of the word, and they are very arrogant people. But seriously speaking, when you encounter God or you have a visitation of Jesus, after that, you become very sober and very humble in life. I'm telling you. when you encountered the man Jesus of Nazareth, who saved me on the bed of affliction 32 years ago at Kolebu Ward 8, on the bed of affliction, when you encounter that man, you become very humble. But when you don't know him, and you just know of him by reading his word, you know of him, but you don't know the man. So I want to begin. I want to take it from where I left it. I'm talking about exceptions to the rules. That God makes exceptions to the rules for people that are marked to make a difference. And for people who truly serve God in all of their ways and in all of their heart. The Bible said that David was righteous. He did right all his life in the eyes of God, was righteous, and did not turn to the left nor to the right in anything God commanded him to do. Only in the case of Bathsheba, the wife of Uriah the Hittite. I say it again. The Bible said David did everything God commanded him and was righteous in the sight of God in everything all his life, except or only in the case of Bathsheba, the wife of Uriah the Hittite. Now, there are people, and David was a man after God's own heart. Now, there are people like Ahithophel and his son Absalom that wanted David to be removed from the throne, and they wanted David killed. If the man did everything right in all of his ways, since he sat on the throne over 40 years, he walked with God, and the Bible said David did everything right and didn't turn to the left nor to the right in anything God commanded him, only in the case of Bathsheba, the wife of Uriah the Hittite. And yet there were people who wanted David to be killed because of one mistake he did. He did everything right, but he missed it one time, and they will throw stone at him to forget all the good he has done. God is not a man to think that way. That's why God is not a man. Aren't you happy that God is not a man? Oh, come on, somebody talk to me. I said, aren't you happy that God is not a man? God is not a man. That is the way men are. When Jerry Rawlings was president, everybody wants to be his friend, and everybody was around him because he was president. Now that he's no more president, you see people who know him, they don't even want to identify with the man because he's no more president. Now we have a president. He has one more year, he'll be out of office. As soon as he leaves office, everybody's going to forget about him, that he was ever a president of Ghana. When they see him in public, they won't even remember that once upon a time he was a president. That is human. We forget too quick. We forget too early. I've known Pastor Nyaku for 32 years. He's been my friend for 32 years. 32 years. Are you hearing me, somebody? He's been a friend for 32 years. And when I got saved 32 years ago and I went to Church of Pentecost, he was the one who was counseling me and helping me in the things of God, to come up in the things of God. He taught me the ABC of salvation, Dr. Nyaku. Amen? And I am not ashamed at all. I'm not ashamed as an archbishop to say that he taught me the ABC of salvation. At all, I'm not ashamed. I have a problem with people who forget to recognize and to give credit to whom credit is due in their life, who helped them once upon a time in their life before they became who they are, that they don't want anybody to know about it. You have a serious problem. I said you have a serious problem. If you can't give credit to whom credit is due, and you can't give honor to whom honor is due, you have a serious problem. And there's a problem in the church. There are bishops and pastors who were raised by others, who were taught by others, and today they don't want anybody to know that once upon a time this pastor or this man of God helped me. But it doesn't matter my position as the archbishop. Me and Dr. Nyaku are not equal. We are not equals. Amen. It's a matter of office. By the rank of my office, I'm above him. By the rank of my office. But outside of the rank of my office, he was ahead of me. And if you can't acknowledge that, then you have a big problem. And do you know what he would tell you? I always call him Openyin, Openyin. You know what Openyin means? Opening, big man. That's the way I call him. I call him big man. One has to be very careful the higher you climb. Because God can put you in a higher office, and that doesn't mean that you deserve it. It is grace. It is by grace. I said it is by grace. It's by grace only. If it is by qualification, and if it was by the rules, I would not be standing here. It will be somebody else. It is only by grace that I am standing here. Are you hearing me, somebody? So you don't think that you are archbishop, so you take things for... No. You got to be very careful. Because if God removes the grace and the anointing from me right now, I am useless like anybody else that is useless. But the only thing that makes a difference between me and others is the grace of God and the mercy of God that is upon my life. Somebody say, talk to me. Paul said the other day, he said, I am what I am by the grace of God. I am not what I am because I went to Oxford or Yale or Cambridge or Harvard. Are you hearing me, somebody? So let me tell you something. When you come to church, put your Oxford certificate at the background and humble yourself. Because in church, it is not by your education. Education is borrowed knowledge. When you came into this world, the first thing you did was cry in air. English is not yours. You didn't come here with it. It's somebody's language and it's borrowed knowledge. It is not yours. So humble yourself and stop thinking that Queen English can take you anywhere. The Queen's English can't take you anywhere in God, nor the American slangs. It won't take you anywhere. What takes you somewhere in God and places in life is humility. Paul said, I am what I am. He said, I am not what I am because of what I studied at the feet of Gamaliel. I am what I am by the grace of God. Then he said, I am the least among all the apostles. I did not walk with Jesus. I didn't see him in flesh. I encountered him by revelation on the way of Damascus, going to attack the church. And he appeared to me on the way of Damascus. He intercepted my assignment. And there, at the way of Damascus, revealed himself and told me, I am Jesus, whom thou persecuted, and said unto me that it is impossible for you to kick against the prick. I was not among the apostles. I did not eat with the man. I didn't walk with the man. I did not see him working miracles. I heard about him, and I heard of his miracles. But I only encountered him on the way of Damascus. He said, I was not fortunate to be with him like the other apostles. But he said, even though I was the least among them all, I have done greater works than them all. Yet not I, by the grace of God that was with me. Somebody lift up your hands and shout, yes. The Bible said, the race is not to the swift. The Bible said the battle is not to the mighty nor to the strong, nor prosperity nor riches to the wise nor to men of skill, but time and chance happens to them all. Is anybody hearing me? Say yes. I don't know who I came to talk to, but I came to talk to somebody this morning. I came to tell you that it doesn't matter what your background is. It is not to the swift. It is not to the mighty. It is not to the power. But chance and time happens to everybody. It could be somebody's day today, but my day shall be tomorrow. Are you hearing me, somebody? Lift up your hands and shout, yes. I used to go to Kolebu Mortuary. Many years ago, every now and then when I used to pastor, I used to go to Kolebu Mortuary to look at people lying in the fridge. And that reminded me that, preacher, it doesn't matter how mighty and powerful you become, you got to learn that this is the end of all flesh. And if you really want to know who you are, go to Kolebu Mortuary and you'll see people who went to Oxford, Yale, Cambridge, Harvard. You see them lying in the fridge there, naked, and others lying upon them. And their certificate is lying in their bedroom and in their offices. And they don't even know where they are. And all their buildings didn't go with them. And their Swiss account and Oxford's account is not going with them. And all their titles and their ISMs and their dress is not going with them. The only thing that they go with is as they came naked, and naked they return. So please humble yourself. And stop being offended
Somebody has offended me. I am offended. I am angry. If you know the end of all flesh, you will never be angry about anything. When people offend you, you overlook it. You will not be bitter when people hurt you. You will overlook bitterness and you will walk with humility. Somebody lift up your hands and say, you are saying something. Can I talk to you? We need to address some issues. There got to be humility in the church. There's too much arrogance among pastors, men of God. And it doesn't matter what your title is. Your title will not get you to heaven. You know what will take me to heaven? Not the name Archbishop. What is going to take me to heaven is my faith in the blood of Jesus. Are you hearing me, somebody? It's the fact that the blood of Jesus cleanses me. And it is only by grace and by mercy shall we enter. Nobody is entering based on your own righteousness. Outside the grace of God, nobody can be righteous. Nobody. If you are righteous, it's because God gave you grace. And grace is divine enablement that enables people to do things. If you can prophesy than others, it is grace. If you can fast 40 days and 40 nights with water than others, it is grace. If you can interpret all prophecy and all visions and all dreams than others, it is grace. If you can preach better than others, it is grace. If you are a teacher and you understand the protest and the pretext of the context of the text, it is by grace. Are you hearing me, somebody? Say yes. If you are eloquent than anything, and you can speak in all strange languages and tongues, ladies and gentlemen, it is by grace. If you run than others, it is by grace. If you are the head, it is by grace. Whatever position you have in life, it is by grace. And when you begin to take credit for what you have achieved, and you don't give credit to God, you are cursed. The Bible said the king of Babylon, Nebuchadnezzar, came into his palace one day and said, look at what I have done. Look at me, the king of Babylon. He said, look at my majesty and the palace I have built to myself. And the Bible said, while the words were falling out of his mouth, letters were written, and God said, you've been found in the balances, weighed. You will go to the forest and you will eat and become like a beast for 7 years until you acknowledge that the heavens do rule in the affairs of men. And seven is the end of a cycle. So God said, I will give you 7 years to end this cycle of pride and arrogance in your life. When I go around seeing some of my sons have done in the ministry, I'm very humble. On Friday, I was with Robert and Pierre Kofi, one of my sons in the ministry. I met him 30 years ago. I went to his church at the all night, and there were over 7,000 people there. And when they heard that I was coming, and I came out of the car from the main street, they started screaming. And the screaming was scaring. It was scaring. It was scaring. If you saw the crowd, and it humbled me the more. I was scared. And I said, you know, this thing can get into your head, though. And when I was leaving, if you saw how the crowd came on me, and everybody was rushing for me to touch them, for them to touch my dress, to pull me. And I looked at him and I said, this thing is very scary. Very scary. Very, very scary. And if you are not careful and you don't remember from whence you came, that you were some useless somebody somewhere, and God just had mercy upon you and took you and said, I will show you mercy. Because as for you, if I don't show you mercy, you are finished. And then suddenly you become somebody and you let it get into your head. You are in trouble. Are you hearing me, somebody? And when I sat in the car, I was very, very quiet in the car. And the reason why I was very quiet, I saw how dangerous it is for you to cross a line. And to easily think that, Charlie, you know, I've become very powerful. You see how the people were screaming. You see how the people were shouting. They like me. They love me. Be careful. Turn to somebody and say, careful. No, do it my way. Do it my way. Say, hey. Say, hey. Careful. My grandfather in the faith, T.L. Osborne, he taught me something. He said, son, don't believe the praises of the people. Don't believe it. Amen? Can I talk to you right now? Don't forget what I told you about David. He did everything right. Only in one thing he made a mistake. And his son Absalom and Ahithophel, the wisest man that ever lived, with counsel beyond that of the wisdom of Solomon, died prematurely because they came against a man who did everything right, but in one thing he made a mistake. And they wouldn't forgive him and held it against him. And God said, who dared you, who designated you to judge my servant and my anointed? When I don't judge him, who gave you the right, the audacity? The Bible says, who are you to judge another man's servant? Whether he stands or falls, he stands and falls to his master. The Bible says, who are you to bring a charge against God's elect? It was Christ that died, and furthermore, he's risen from the dead. Key to this message is very simple. It's for you to begin to look at things from a heavenly perspective. You have to begin to see people and look at outcome of situation as God sees it, and not looking at people in the natural. When we get to heaven, there will be a lot of surprises in heaven, because there are people that we have written off and said that these people, they are chief sinners. They will never go to church. They will never make it to heaven. And when we get to heaven, we will see some of them standing at the gate in heaven, and you say, hey, you, what are you doing here? And they will say to you, it is by grace. I am here by grace also. So you never write anybody off. Are you hearing me, somebody? Say yes. The other day, Jesus said to his disciples, who do men say that I am? What are they saying about me? What is public perception and opinion of me? And he knew that people were poisoning the minds of his disciples about his true identity and who he was. And everybody began to tell Jesus public perception and opinion of him. Jesus said they are entitled to their opinion. Some said you are John the Baptist, risen from the dead. Elijah, Isaiah, Jeremiah, the old prophet. Jesus said, and you that are with me and have been with me, what is your personal perception of me? It's one thing to hear what somebody is telling you about somebody they think they know. Then Jesus said, you too, apart from what they've said, what is your own personal perception? Do you have your own mind about the situation? Everybody kept quiet. So they were all operating on people's views. Now, you have to be very careful in this life. Because if you're not very careful, you will find yourself judging people based on people's view and not of your own view. And there are a lot of people who have fight with people. They picked up fight with people, fighting people. Not because they've offended them, but they are fighting for other people. They are fighting for the offense of others. You are offended because somebody was offended. And the person offended is your friend. And the person told you his or her side of the matter. And you are taking sides with somebody. So even though you are not part of the offense, you become offended and a partaker of the sin of somebody else. You are fighting somebody based on somebody's perception of the person, and you don't have your own mind on the matter. Somebody, can I talk to you? Come on, somebody talk to me. Can I talk to you? I just feel like to talk to you. I feel like talking to you. Amen. I want to talk to you. Every now and then it's good to talk to people. Somebody talk to me. Hallelujah. So Jesus, now you that are with me, what do you say that I am? Tell me your personal perception of me. I want to know your true feeling about me. Everybody was quiet. They were quiet because they were dealing with Jesus from what I call a limited mind. Their mind was limited. They were dealing with him from a limited intelligence network. The mind is limited. It's restricted. That's what the Bible says. Your thoughts are not my thoughts. Your ways are not my ways. Even as the heavens are above the earth, so are my thoughts and my ways above yours. And the Bible said, and suddenly Peter broke into intelligent network. He broke into the intelligent network of heaven and downloaded secret information. Are you hearing me, somebody? Amen? He downloaded intelligence that he was in the position to have. Classified information. He got it. And he said, I think I know who you are. Jesus said, talk to me. He said, thou art the Christ, the anointed one, the Messiah. You are Elohim in made flesh. You are Yeshua. You are Hamashiach. You are the Son of the living God. At the morning, are you hearing me, somebody? You are the bright and morning star. You are the light of the world. You are the Lion of the tribe of Judah. You are the beginning and the end. You are the Son of the living God. Are you hearing me, somebody? And the Bible said, and Jesus responded and said, Simon, Simon. Simon means a reed. Simon means an unstable person. Somebody who is unstable in all of his ways. Don't have a mind of his own. Turn to somebody and say, have your own mind. You know why? Being a leader, I have learned to be very careful how I handle people based on what I'm told about people. Because sometimes you can have loyalists around you and they tell, Papa, we had this guy is coming around you. Be very careful of this guy. There's this young guy that I started training and brought him close to me, very gifted, and started training him that have become a blessing to me big time. And the day he came to see me, I had another son who came to see me. So when this guy was coming, they were leaving. And when they saw him, they came back. They said, Papa, can I talk to you? And I said, yes. They said, Papa, this guy, you have to be careful. Papa, I'm telling you, this guy is a very bad guy. This guy, and they said some serious things about the guy to me. I didn't say anything. I said, thank you. I didn't ask the guy. I didn't say anything. I just decided to just watch him myself. And I didn't treat him any way. I loved him. I took him as a son. And I said to him, I said, you're my son, and I want you to treat me as a father. I don't want to know anything about your past. Just treat me as a father, that's all. Don't hide things from me. Now watch this. A year after, I got to know that son of mine, my other son, they and this guy had some serious problem. And they fought. And it was a very deep situation. And they didn't want me to know. So the best way to deal with the matter was to character assassinate him. But they didn't know that me, myself, I came from the ghettos. Somebody say, I hear you. I'm the wrong person to come and destroy. I came from the ghettos. Are you hearing me? I wasn't born righteous. I wasn't an angel. When I came to the Lord, you should have seen me. When I came to the Lord, my walking was some way. Amen? I was crazy. I was very crazy. Amen? I was very, very crazy. My mother will tell you. I was very crazy. So Peter was Simon before he became Peter. And Jesus said, Simon, Simon, Barjona. And the word Barjona means Simon, son of Jonah. For flesh and blood has not revealed this unto you, but my Father which is in heaven. Then Jesus said something. He said, blessed are thou. Why are you blessed? You are blessed because anytime you hear from God, it gives you advantage over the natural. Anytime you hear from God, you are blessed. And this morning you are hearing from God. So you are blessed. I said you are blessed. You are not cursed. You are blessed. You are blessed because you came to church. You are blessed because you are hearing the voice of God. You are blessed and not cursed. You are blessed going out. You are blessed coming in. You are blessed in your body. You are blessed when you lay down. You are blessed when you write down. You are blessed when you go to work. You are blessed in everything because you have heard from God. This morning, somebody lift up your hands and shout, yes. Can I talk to you? Jesus said, before you heard from God, your name was Simon. You were unstable before you heard from God. You didn't have an identity of your own. You didn't have a conviction of your own. You did not have a mind of your own. You were unstable. You were unsettled in everything. You couldn't make decision of your own. You always have to consult others to make a decision. But after hearing from God, that part of your life has ended. That cycle has changed. Now, you are a man of your own convictions. You have an identity of your own. You have a mind on your own. You don't have to consult anybody to make a decision, to form an opinion about a situation. You can have your own perception and your own opinion about a situation, and it will be right because you have broken into divine intelligence network. Hear me? Can I talk to you? Come on, let me feel you. Can I talk to you? You see, ladies and gentlemen, the Bible said the other day, henceforth, know no man after the flesh. And it's dangerous when you begin to deal with people from the physical perspective. Because somebody can be something today and become something else tomorrow. So if you judge people based on who they are today, you can miss it tomorrow. Because you never know who is sitting next to you and what they will become tomorrow. Look at somebody sitting next to you and say, don't even think you know me. You don't know me. Amen? You don't know me. You don't know me. The Bible said, for eyes have not seen, ears have not heard, neither has entered the hearts of men what God has prepared for those who love him. So you don't know me. You haven't seen me yet. Just wait a little bit longer and God will blow your mind. You haven't seen the real me. You met me when I was struggling. You met me when I was fighting through some storms. You met me when I was wounded. You met me when I was down. You me when I was going through my difficult times and my difficult days. You should have seen me in my elements, but you shall yet see me in my elements. Are you hearing me, somebody? Say yes! Say yes! And Peter became Peter, a rock, solid. Now watch this. He said, flesh and blood has not revealed this unto you. What does that mean? It means that if Peter had lived 100 years, he would have never known who Jesus truly was. Until he received revelation from the Father, he would have not known who he was. And watch this. A lot of people have killed their deliverer and killed their savior because they didn't know who they were by revelation. And if you are not careful, you will kill somebody today who you need tomorrow. Because you don't know them by revelation. That's why the brothers of Joseph almost killed their own brother Joseph. But Joseph was the deliverer of the family. And yet they wanted to assassinate their deliverer and kill their brother out of jealousy and envy. And they would have missed it if they had killed their brother. Be careful of how you treat people. Turn to somebody and say, be careful how you treat me. Or say it my way, say, careful, careful, careful. You know why you should be careful how you treat people? You never know who they'll become tomorrow. You never know. Amen? You never know who somebody will become tomorrow. You must have a stand in life. You got to believe in people. You have to be a believer of the dreams of others. And I don't just believe in people's dream. I support people's dream. I back people's dream. I put my weight behind people's dream. I invest into people's dream. That is what life is all about. Because what you make happen for others, God will make happen for you. Put your hands together and give God praise. Amen. Now I want you to hear me. Jacob was all alone when his family went ahead of him. And while he was all alone by himself, the Bible said, a man, a God man appeared and wrestled him all night long. I love this one. I want you to look at me. Hear me. Loneliness is not the absence of people, it's the absence of direction. And never see being alone as loneliness. It's an opportunity to give God an undivided attention for a revelation you need for the next level. And when Jacob was all alone, a God's man appeared and began to wrestle with him to the break of the morning. I want you to hear me now. And the Bible said, when it was morning, the sun was just ready to appear. And the Bible said that the angel told Jacob, I have to leave now. It's time for the changing of the guards. Another angel must come and take over. I got to go now. And Jacob said, I can't let you go. You got to bless me. You got to bless me. And the angel said, I can't bless you. I have to know your identity. We just don't place blessing anywhere. I must account for the blessing I give you. Who are you? What is your name? He said, my name is Jacob. He said, give me a second. Let me log into the computers of heaven. Took his social security number. Logged into the computers of heaven. And when he put the social security number in, Jacob didn't appear. The name that came up was Israel, a prince with God. So the angel said, Jacob, you've been operating with a wrong identity. The name you have is an imposition. That is not your true identity. Your true identity, according to the records of eternity in the computers of heaven, your name is a prince, Israel. Your name is Israel, a prince with God, not Jacob. So Jacob is a wrong identity. So from today, your name is changed from Jacob to Israel, a prince with God. I want you to look at me. Some of you, you are operating with wrong identities. Some of you, the name you are carrying is not you. The image you have is not you. The identity you have is not you. I declare from today, as you hear the sound of my voice, that the real image, your true image, is being conferred upon you now. In the name of Jesus, somebody shout, I receive. Is anybody hearing me? The angel said, you are not Jacob. You are Israel. Now watch this. Do you know? Everybody say revelation. Talk to me. Say revelation. Do you know that the nation of Israel today is named after the name of Jacob? Not Abraham, not Isaac, not Moses, not Elijah. None of the prophets of old or the kings of the Bible were named after that nation. It's the name of Jacob that is upon the nation of Israel. They named that nation Israel. A prince of God. And Jacob would have died, gone to his grave with the name Jacob, and would have never known his true identity, that in the records of eternity he was born to be a prince, and his name was Prince and not Jacob. Jacob means a schemer, a supplanter, and he accepted it. Some of you have accepted some circumstances of life you shouldn't accept. Some of you are living with things you shouldn't live with. But I pray that in this year, something will come upon you. And you will realize your true self. And you will rise up and say, it is time for change. I will not accommodate and live with something I wasn't meant to live with. Somebody lift up your hands and shout, yes. Shout, yes. Shout, yes. When you don't know, you accommodate some things. But when you know, you don't have to. And Jacob came to the realization of who he truly was. Every one of you seated here, you must begin to pray a prayer that, oh God, let my life come into divine alignment with the original intent and the original record in heaven concerning my life. And if I have gone off track according to the records of eternity, oh, thou that answers prayer, bring me back on course. Bring me back on course. Bring me back in line with your original intent. Let there be a divine alignment of my life with that which is in heaven. That's why he said, pray that thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. There is a plan in heaven about every one of you. I said every one of you. And every one of your children. There is a plan in heaven about you and your children. And it is my prayer today that your life, will be nothing less than that which is determined in heaven about your life. That you will not make any progress that is out of the original plan of God. That you will not become anything outside of the original intent. Say yes. I don't want any success outside of what I was meant to be. I don't want to become a president. I don't want to become a Rockefeller, an Onassis, or anything. If that was not what heaven determined me to become before I was born, I don't need it. Because it will be a disappointment to eternity in the day that I stand before the El Elyon. I will account for what is written of me in the archives of eternity. Jesus said, for I have come in the volumes of the books, for it is written of me in the volume of the book. He said, I have come to do thy will, O Lord. I want to do and fulfill only that which is written of me in the volume of the book. I don't want to achieve any success outside of what I was born to achieve. I don't want to become anything better than what I am if it is not written in the volumes of the books. I want to be just what I was born to be. According
from demonic harassment, be healed immediately. I command your immediate freedom. I command the chains to break. I command your unconditional discharge, release from every form of prison. In the name of Jesus, I pray and I believe God. Write to me, email me, and I want to subpoena you by divine authority to come visit me in action. Sunday morning, 6 a.m. and 9 a.m. Tremendous services. The praise and worship is great. You will experience God like you've never experienced God nowhere like this. I guarantee you, you will not be disappointed when you visit with us. Same time next week, Sunday, tune in, and God will show you a sign for good this week.
We believe you've been blessed by this sermon. For inquiries, please call +233 26767 6055, +233 26767 6055, or send an email to info@godswordforus.com, info@godswordforus.com.